Amen. All right, we're blessed people. I want to show you some of Paul's writings. Go over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we're going to start at chapter 1. And Paul is actually writing from a jail in Corinth. And then he wrote again on the same subject from a jail cell in Rome. And I suppose he was just looking out his window and seeing the corruption that was out there. But I'm going to tell you something. This city of Corinth was a messed up city. And listen, this was what I'm giving you this morning. Paul wrote this. It's only about 30 years past the resurrection of Jesus. From the time that Jesus died and was resurrected, only about 30 years had passed. And Jesus had brought something to this earth that had never been done before. There were miracles, there were signs, there were wonders, and the disciples followed him, and the whole world was changed by the message of grace. Oh my goodness, they were so happy to get covered in grace because they had lived under the law all those years, and now they were free, many of them, who received the good news. But then there were the rabbis, and there were the Orthodox Jews, and the philosophers, and the Sadducees, and Pharisees, and all of them that just weren't going to have it. I mean, they weren't going to buy it. They didn't take it. They don't care who Jesus did and what he did. Did he die? Yes. Was he resurrected? Well, we don't believe that either. So it was just a mess, a wild and crazy city. But I'll tell you this, just as wild and crazy as that city was, it began to drift into the church. It began to sneak into the church. And the church began to be influenced by the ways of their city and by the culture of that hour. And so one reason I want to bring this is because how many know that culture out there is crazy? I mean, it's just off the charts. They don't even know what they're protesting for. They don't know, but boy, they're giving it all they've got. They don't care. And then if the church isn't careful, we get that kind of business coming in here and arguments start happening among the people. No, we're going to stay according to the word of the Lord. Amen. I don't care. We're just going to stay according to the word. So the church, we're just not going to get crazy in here. We're going to stay according to the word of God, and this keeps us safe, this protects us, this teaches us, this guides us along our way when everything else is falling apart. The word tells us you may fall 10,000 times, but you just get yourself back up. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. So the church here at this hour became a disgrace church. I mean, just it was a disgrace from what Paul says there in what history says, but they allowed it all to come in. The pastors allowed it, the people allowed it, and they loved doing things their own way. And one Bible scholar said this, one commentator said, the lowest accusation that you could make against a man in that day was to call him a Corinthian. Today they have a lot of names, but they called you a Corinthian. That was less than a dog, because you weren't doing very good. So let's see what Paul had to say. Paul was such a mighty man of God, full of humility and love. And look, he just comes into town and he doesn't even hardly address the mess. All right, but he's going to deal with something that will help them if they will let it. And this will help you, and it will help me, and our children, and our children's children, if you'll hear what Paul is teaching us today. Okay, let's start at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. And this part, I'm sure I've brought to you many times, this one verse. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, and with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both ours, he meant the disciples, both our Lord and your Lord, both theirs and ours. So he says, I'm talking to you, saints. Okay, you weren't talking to dead saints. People think today a saint is only one that belonged to the Roman Catholic Church and they're all dead now. No, we are living saints. Do you understand that? You and I are living saints. He said, I don't want to call myself that. Well, you may as well. The Bible calls you that. Paul called these people that. Now, I'm talking to the saints, he said, in every place. I call on the name of the Lord. Do you call on the name of the Lord? Of course we do. And we talked to our God, both the disciples' God and our God. All right, look at verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him. Somebody say, by him. I want you to remember it was by him that we got grace, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So that you, he said, for this reason that happened, so that you would come short in no gift, eagerly awaiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, in verse 4, he brings it up. And he says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. So they were all given grace. And when they messed up and they did certain things, they weren't going to be killed by God and punished by him by death. Punishment by death. And so now they got this grace, and the women no longer had to walk behind the man. Women could minister in the house of God. And there were so many things that happened under grace. They could eat pork. They could eat certain things. And so he says, grace was given to you that you be enriched in everything by him in utterance and knowledge. That God just fills your mind with good things, and he will help you to figure out things that you couldn't have done before. And when it says you were enriched by him, that word enriched, let me tell you what that means. Okay, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but we're going to call that a plutocrat. Now, anyone know what a plutocrat is? That's one who has so much wealth, no one can even measure the amount of wealth it is. I mean, you can figure it out. All the bank accounts and all that they've done, all the houses they've sold, all this, that, and the other. A plutocrat has no idea how much money they have. And Paul said, that's you. You've been enriched in all things, and we're getting ready to come to his table in just a moment. And with that, we're going to take up all that enrichment that he gave to us. And so he says, you're enriched in all things. Woo! So that you come short, verse 7, and in nothing, waiting for the revelation of the Lord Jesus. All right, I want us to go over to verse 30, chapter 1 and verse 30. And here's the four things that God did. And Paul said, I want you to look at this. And so he's reminding them, some of you are running back to the law. Others of you are abusing grace. You were so blessed to be able to walk under grace. Now you're doing anything you want to do in the name of grace, and you were frustrating grace. But he's reminding them, you've been given so much. Why are you running around here acting like the world? Can I tell you today that if you act like the world, then why in the world should your friend come to church? If you're just like them, then we have nothing to offer. If you come into a church that everything goes, then we have nothing to offer anyone. But if we stay according to the word, you all don't care what I think. You don't care what my opinion is. This is why I stay by the word of the Lord. And I will confirm it with the word of the Lord, or I'm just not going to say it. All right, let's look. Amen. All right, chapter 1, look at verse 30. But of him, God, that's capital H, but of him You are in Christ Jesus. So, okay, right there, that is the bottom line. We're going to start right here. First things first, Paul says to them, you are in Christ. If you believe that he lived, he died, and he was resurrected for you, and you've received him, then you were in Christ. Look at this. Who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I know that's a mouthful, but hold on. He said he's given you four things. He's given you his wisdom. It's not ours, because what do we know? He's given you by God. God says, by my son, I have given you wisdom. Keep that verse 30 up. You've got wisdom from God, and he was made your righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So all of these things became ours, church. So this is the starting point. Paul said, look, you got to know this first, that you are in him. Somebody say, I am in Christ. And in the book of John, he went on to say, and he is in me. Now, I don't know how that works. Only by a supernatural occasion that he could be in us and us in him. It's an amazing thing. And when we look at how, before we found him, how foolish we were. Foolish and arrogant and ignorant and blind. Just like we had blinders on. The Bible says that Satan has come to blind the minds of unbelievers. And that's why you work with people or people in your family you just can't get through to. Doesn't matter what you say to them, because Satan has them blinded. He has them blinded. Okay, and you try to bite them to church or convince them, and they laugh you down or shout you down. But there will come a time God has ways. Somebody say, God has ways of saying, you need me. And we see it all the time, people running in knowing they need God. But he says, oh, once you were that way, and we were blind, and we were just like that. But he says, but through Jesus, I gave you wisdom. Listen to what wisdom. Here, you have this, okay? You have this. It may not be activated in us like we want it to be all the time. I want more wisdom. And James, the half-brother of Jesus, told us, if you need wisdom, well, ask for wisdom. But here we're told that you have it by Christ Jesus, that he became our wisdom. He is our wisdom. If he lives in us, we live in him, then we have his wisdom, which means what? We have understanding. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, the more that you know you're in Christ Jesus, and the more that you understand that he gave you his wisdom, that you don't have to rely on your wisdom. Isn't that comforting to know? We don't have to lean on what we know or don't know. It's not even up to us. And then to know that not only will we have understanding, but we can have knowledge. Say, well, I don't know what to do about it. Well, you just get to him. Be quiet. Stay with him. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Now, it's not always easy to be still, but it's pretty easy for most of us to know that he's God. Amen? So he said, now you just be still and know that he is God. But with that understanding, I'll give you knowledge. That's what wisdom means. It means understanding. It means knowledge. It means having good judgment. And so when we get to walking in our own way and we want to do what pleases us, then we will make judgment calls that sometimes aren't very good. Why are they not very good? When we have the wisdom of Jesus, it should be very good. So I prayed that this morning, man, all week this was on me, all week, probably 2 weeks, that this scripture began to burn in me. Bring it, bring it. Bring it to the people. Tell them that I am their wisdom. That I have experiences in them. He's experienced storms that they sang about. He's experienced the bad things and the good things and the things we don't understand. He's been there with us, and he says, that's my experience with you. I've given you the wisdom to understand and to know. And look at this. I want you to go back. This has always been one of my favorite chapters. And I don't want to get bogged down here. Lord knows I could. I love this part. Let me read you about wisdom. This has been a question for many pastors and evangelists and teachers and evangelists over the years. But I think that, you know, I'm going to agree with those that say this is him. All right, look. He made receiving this wisdom easy for us. Though it's not always easy. Because we're like, God, I need wisdom in this. He says, you got it. Or I got it. Remember the saying that's real popular? God's got this. He says, I've got this. He's got this. All right? Look. Proverbs 8. This is why people have a little bit of controversy with this. Look. Proverbs 8 and 1. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. And she cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of all the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. And look who else she calls. And it's just using she because that's a tender pronoun. It's a tender sight to call wisdom she. Look, verse 5, I love this. Oh, you simple ones, understand prudence. I'll give you understanding. Oh, you fools, be of an understanding heart. And then he says this, and I address you with this today and myself as well. Listen. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things. And from the opening of my lips will come right things. If you ask me, Jesus says, only right things come out of my mouth. Sometimes things that are not so right leave our mouth. But he said there's no cause for that because you've been enriched with everything. You're such a plutocrat. You have more wealth than you even know about. He said, listen, and I'll speak excellent things. From out of the opening of my lips come right things. From my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. He said, I'll never speak abomination or bad things. Verse 8, all the words of my mouth are with what? Righteousness. There's nothing crooked or perverse in them. They're all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Again, that's wisdom. Okay. Receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. For all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Because you're not going to need to put your faith in rubies or money or the job or this. Because when you seek him and you get his wisdom and you get his righteousness and you get all of those beautiful four things that he promised us, the redemption and the sanctification, he said, all the rubies and the gold and all that will follow. All right? Let me show you verse 22. This is some of my favorite stuff. And I've got to read a few verses to you. Is that all right? All right, chapter 8, verse 22. Look at this. This is so Jesus talking. I don't know why any scholar cannot figure out that this is not him speaking according to what Paul told us. Look at 8:22. It's the thoughts and the wisdom and the mind of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. My God. Thank you, Jesus. Help me. 8:22. For the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I have been established from everlasting. From the beginning, before there ever was an earth. Jesus is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. So right here it says, I was with him from the beginning. I am before there ever was an earth. I've been established from the everlasting. That means the dateless past and the dateless future. There is no date on the past or the future. The eternal past. Verse 24. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields, look at this, or the primal dust of the world. There was no dust, there was no mountains, there was no earth. And when he prepared the heavens, look at this, I was there. And when he drew a circle on the face of the deep, see, if they would have known this first, Columbus wouldn't have had to tell us that the earth was round. The wisest thought it was flat, but the word would have told him that God drew a circle on the face of the deep. And when he established the clouds above, and when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, and when he assigned the sea to its limit so that waters would not transgress or command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. James said Jesus did all this. And I was daily, look at this, I was daily his delight. Didn't he give us his only begotten son? Jesus was his delight. I was rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of man. At first, wisdom here says, woo, I enjoyed his work. I just danced around and rejoiced. And, oh, it was just so wonderful. And then he goes on to say, as man started coming on the earth through Adam and Eve and men started increasing, he said, oh, and my delight. Look at that, verse 31. My delight was with the sons of men. He said, I delight in you every day. I delight in who you are and what you're about and the personality I gave you. I love you when others may not see you like I do, but I know you. I know everything, and I've been delighting in you a long time and in my Father's work. Verse 32. And therefore, listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways, hear my instruction, and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and those who hate me love death. He said, you watch daily at the gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Listen, will you pray about things? Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 says, oh, set your face, O watchman. Get up in the high tower and watch. Watch to see my hand. And listen to that I might speak to you. And here he's saying, watch daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Look, when you pray about something, watch for your answer to come. Don't just pray and then not expect something. When you go to the bank and you lay your check down, you expect them to put that into your account or to give you money for that. That check is good. You don't take them a blank piece of paper and say, oh, look at the signature. Isn't that good? And my company was so good. They gave me this bonus or they blessed me. Isn't my company good? And then pick up the paper and walk out. You get nothing. So let's not be like that in prayer. Oh, God, you're so good. I love you. You're wonderful. You're kind. I love you. You've done so much for me. Oh, Lord, you're so good. Please help my son. He's in jail. Lord, and don't let him go to jail or whatever you're praying. I need more money. And then you get up and walk out and tell your friend, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. What in the world am I going to do? Just take your paper and go home. Take your little prayer and walk out. That's not what wisdom told us. He said, no. You watch daily at my gates. You wait and see if I'm coming down that dusty road. You wait and see. I've been here for many years, and I'm not getting ready to walk out on you now. I brought you too far to leave you. I didn't teach you to swim to let you drown. I didn't put my home in you to move away. Oh, I didn't pick you up, the song says. I didn't pick you up to let you down. He said, watch daily at the gates, waiting at the post of my doors. That is just a picture. You can read that whole chapter 8 and 9. It's just all over the place. It's wonderful. But go on back. I want to go right back to 1 Corinthians again. That's just one part. Verse 30 again. Let's put it up so we can read it. But of him you are in Christ. Somebody, are you in Christ? Amen. Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. He became our wisdom for us and righteousness. Righteousness. You say, Pastor, I don't know. You know, I just have a hard time. One sweet girl here, she'll tease me and say, Pastor, I am just a heathen. And I tell her, honey, please don't tell me you're a heathen. You're not a heathen. No, 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 my sisters tease me. It's a big old joke to them. She's a heathen. I'm like, no, she's not a heathen. She might be a Corinthian, but she's not a heathen. I got a new word. But I don't know. My pastor called me one time when I was a young girl, and I guess I was married then, and he says to me, Paulette, are you still righteous? Are you still holy? I said, oh, I don't know. Don't ask me that. And he goes, you don't know? He said, I better come to Porterville and see you. If you don't know, you're righteous in God. I said, oh, I am so sorry. Of course I am. Well, he says, and act like you are. Say it. Sometimes we can just be so, you know, have such, I don't know, if it's called fake humility or afraid we're going to pat ourselves on the back. Listen, I got nothing to pat, neither do you. Okay, so the only wisdom I might have would come through him, the understanding and the knowledge, and the only righteousness we have is in him. I mean, that's it. Because our righteousness was not very good. We said our own righteousness, man, we were obnoxious. One day I was in the beauty shop, and a lady says, and this was years ago, and she said, so-and-so go to your church? And I said, yes, he does. And she goes, oh, he's the most obnoxious man. We can't stand him out here on this baseball game. Don't y'all ever act that way. So, she said he's obnoxious. But we were all that way, I guess. Sometimes we still can be. Just hateful at times and do our own thing. If it don't feel good, I'm not going to do it and you can't make me. I don't see anything wrong with it. I'm not hurting anybody but myself. But I'm going to tell you something. Your own righteousness is not worth 2 cents. It never was, never will be. That's why Jesus said, you need wisdom. And next he said, and you need my righteousness because you don't have any. And the Bible tells us that he who knew no sin did what? He became sin, that him through us, he would become our righteousness. Yet he didn't know any sin, but boy, we sure knew it. And we were just full of it. And it says, he who knew no sin, he became sin. Everything you've ever done, he became that so that he could give us his righteousness. He said, I'll trade you for your filthy sin. Give your filthy sin to me. I'll nail it on the cross with me. I'll die. I'll be resurrected. And then I'll give you my righteousness. And that's how we got that. That's how we got righteousness. What is righteousness? It's right standing with God. It means you're right with him. You say, well, I don't know. No, if Jesus lives in your heart, you're right with him. Stand with him, church. Know who you are. When somebody asks you, are you saved? Yes, I am. Are you righteous? Oh, you know I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. You're not bragging. You just know what Jesus gave you. Do you have any wisdom? No, I don't have any. No, yes, you do. You've got plenty of wisdom. You old plutocrat, you. You've got enriched in everything. In everything. Let's go on. And then he said, he came to give us that wisdom. He became our wisdom. of God, our righteousness. And look, sanctification. Sanctification was an old word I grew up on. And the old timers thought that there was a second work. You got saved, and then you got sanctified. A third work was the Holy Ghost. And you got saved, well, you got saved and then filled with the Holy Spirit. And then you got sanctified. And when you were sanctified, I mean, you were holy. And you never said anything else. You never did anything else wrong. And some will say today, I just can't live right, Pastor. I just can't do that. I can't live right. By the way, don't you know, Pastor, we're under grace now. Have you read the book of Galatians? We are under grace. Have you read the book of Galatians? It says because we're under grace, it gives us the ability to live right. It helps us to live right. Sanctification helps us. When you say, I can't do it, he says, I gave it to you so you can live right. I will help you. You don't have to live like you're in bondage and a slave to sin anymore. He said, no, I bought you. You're free. No, you're not under that. You're morally right. Morally right. You became righteous in him. Sanctified. Some of you, maybe that word sanctification is not even in your mouth. But you know what you need today to get it in your heart and let it be in your heart and in your mind, and then it'll come out of your mouth. That I am sanctified only by the blood of Jesus. That's how I'm sanctified. I've got no sanctity myself, but by him, no. I'm sanctified just like he is, because Jesus said, he who sanctifies, listen, he who is sanctified us, he who is sanctified and he who sanctifies are one. We're one. He sanctified us and he said, you're the sanctified. So we're one. Somebody say amen. Isn't that good? Woo, praise God. And then it says sanctification and redemption. Redemption. What in the world? You say, what does that mean? Let me tell you. Those old slaves in days gone by, way back there, those poor things, they had that master, and they did everything he told them to do. You know, they couldn't go out. They couldn't get off the farm, couldn't get off the land, couldn't get off the property. They only ate what they were given. They couldn't work for any other man, and they didn't even make money. They just made their food and their place to sleep, which probably wasn't very much. But believe me, if somebody came in and bought them and took them off that plantation, took them off of that farm, they bought them and paid for them and took them out and made them free, those people may not have even known how to act. Some of them, if they got in trouble, they would beat them and put them in stocks in their feet and in their hands, and they would be locked up. And that's just like we were, church. We were sinners. We were tied up with the world. The world had us chained to it. We were slaves to sin, slaves to alcoholism, slaves to drugs, slave to sex addiction. We could just sit here and name them all day long. All kinds of things that would just bind you up. And when Jesus came, I remember one time, let me just get off here. There was years ago, my husband and little girls and I were assistant pastors to the church, Miracle Cathedral. And while we were there, there was a woman that came in. She was a lesbian, and she gave her heart to Jesus, and she'd been in jail most of her time. Very sweet lady. And she came in, and I'll never forget her. I was thinking about her this morning. I could just see her face. She had her hair all buzzed on the side. So my pastor and the people, we all took her under our wings and tried to teach her and love her and keep her committed to the Lord. You can't keep people committed. They have to commit themselves. They have to realize I'm in him, him in me, and I'm set apart. To be sanctified means you're set apart for the use of God. This water right here for today, this was set apart for me. This microphone is set apart for preaching the word. So when he sanctified us, he set us apart. Now, woman of God, man of God, you were set apart for my purpose. This is why you're here. This is what you're called to do, is my purpose. Now, anyway, this lady, she was, I don't know, I was much younger then, so maybe she was 40, Maybe she was younger. But she had gotten out of jail. She had been out about 2 months. And when she first got out, she said, "Oh, it feels so good to be free. I'm so happy to be free. I'm out and I'll never go back." But it wasn't 1 month. She said, "You know what I think I'm going to do?" I said, "What you going to do?" "I'm going to try to get back in jail. I'm going to do something. I'm going to steal something, but I'm going back." I said, "Now, why would you say that?" And she said, "Because this freedom is crazy." She said, "I kind of like it now." She said, "Nobody tells me when to get up or go to bed. And I have to make a living out here. I've got to try to figure out where I'm going to live and how I'm going to make money. And there I didn't have to worry about making money. The jail took care of me. They fed me my food. I had a bunk. I had a place to sleep. So I'm good." And you know what she did? She went back. She went back. Sometimes people choose to go back. I don't know if it's because they don't know they've really walked out in freedom. But let me tell you, when you've walked away and out of the world, you can live in freedom. You don't have to continue in that mess. You say, "Yeah, I'm doing better, but I'm not quite there, but I'm doing better." Better's not good enough. Not when you have Him, not when you have wisdom, and you have righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And redemption means He bought and paid for you. To go free, old slave, you are free. So we don't go back. We don't try to do something to get ourselves back. No, people just walk right back out there. Redeem means to be bought. To buy out. Jesus paid the price for our release with His own blood. He purchased our freedom. He redeemed us from the punishment and the penalty of sin. You say, "Well, I sinned and I'm afraid I'm going to be punished for it, or I'm going to get the penalty." No, Jesus paid for that so you don't have to pay the penalty. You couldn't afford it. That's good news. You're right. In the old times, listen, we would have been dead already. None of us would even be here. But by grace are we saved. And by grace are we kept. And by grace, we can do this. You can do it, church. You can do it. You can live right. You can live holy. You can live sanctified. You can live righteous. You don't have to go back to that old habit of the way you were. None of that stuff. Because Jesus made it possible. We're free. We're enriched. And we're a wealthy people. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. And don't forget, you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Stand with me today. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His beautiful face to shine upon you. May He be gracious to you and keep you all of your days. May He bring healing and wholeness into your mind, your heart, your family, and all that He has given to you. May you receive that righteousness and redemption and sanctification and all that He has given, and the wisdom and righteousness of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being here. Say hello to some of our guests today. If you haven't met them, make everybody feel welcome.